Good afternoon again, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, pheasants and deer, ducks and geese. It's all of the above listening to Farm Talk on a Friday afternoon because he's here. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist. Howdy.
Hey, good afternoon, Mick. Good afternoon. Good to be with you on a Friday, on a State Fair Friday kind of day.
It's no different than last Friday or any day this week. Sunny and hot.
Smoky.
Sticky. Humid, and maybe some thunderstorms.
I wish I could remember the day, because they really are, you know, with as you said, you know, kind of the Groundhog's Day over and over again that we've been having. I wish you could remember the day that I was walking, and I heard you say, you know, you're going through the weather and the temperatures, and I don't remember the spot. I think it was like southeastern North Dakota, maybe it was Wappen or Breckenridge, and you said a dew point of 70.
Yeah. It was Gwinner.
Is that where it was?
Yeah, Gwinner and Wapiton. Yeah. And yeah, they were, you know, that's sultry. That's tropical.
Do we track, not you and I, but, you know, we hear about like record high temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
And again, depending on where the dew point is at, you know, you have your heat index in the summer, your wind chill in the winter. But really when it comes down to it, like, We should almost be tracking record dew points, because that would really tell me how bad it feels out there.
Yeah, the discomfort index is really what it's how much moisture there is in the air.
Yeah,
especially when it's hot, and hot and sticky and sultry, and we've had low humidity for so long, which is why the mornings have been cool.
Yeah.
Up until this week, and so it's sticky.
But shouldn't. And again, this is just a flat-footed biologist talking to a veteran meteorologist. If there is that much humidity, moisture in the air, isn't that what it takes to rain? Is
correct.
To have moisture in the air?
Correct. However, you do need dynamic functions like a cold front or other things that will squeeze that, you know, make the water vapor condense, become visible, form a cloud, and then be saturated enough to rain.
Now,
and that hasn't happened.
We talk about legitimately the rain dance and the prayer and the things that we specifically do, you know, with intention to create things to rain. But even so much as we need more people just to go wash their car.
Yeah.
That used to help.
Well, we started combining wheat now, so I guess it sure is possible that if you leave the grain truck uncovered, if you leave the hopper of the combine uncovered and partly full with grain, that sure would inspire some rain.
Leave the windows on the truck down.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things that we can do to increase the odds of it raining.
Yeah.
Again, I've been, you know, like everybody else, it's been a broken record. I try to ask a little more like meteorologically related versus, hey, is it going to rain today? But you mentioned last week, looking ahead, that it might actually legitimately be, you know, like September to see mm-hmm. some atmospheric conditions change to shift this cycle. Is that still kind of what the tea leaves are saying, Mick?
Well, that's what Daryl Richeson is saying. And
he's
agree.
Got tea leaves.
Oh, yes. He's got some pretty good tea leaves. And a lot of respect too.
Yeah.
So, there is, because of the onset or return of strengthening of La Nina out in the Pacific, with the ocean sea surface temperatures changing a little bit, we could have a change in the weather pattern. And he was hoping that, he was thinking of September or maybe early October, where it would go from hot and dry to maybe a little more wetter pattern, maybe a snowy winter, unlike the last winter we had.
Yeah.
But he's also thinking that maybe that could change as early as mid-August. So I guess, I don't know, we'll see. The weather is, you know, it's hard to predict tomorrow and Saturday, Sunday's weather compared to next month.
But it's a lot easier to predict Saturday and Sunday's weather than it is next month. Again, when we cross through the levels of hunting and fishing, of farming and ranching, for the weekend, are there some areas, and I think of it in terms of, if somebody is planning to head out and go camping this weekend or go fishing this weekend, are there some areas that might have a better chance of getting rain or storms than other areas going through this weekend, Mick?
No.
No. You want to think about that and get back to me?
The Great Lakes, the southeastern U.S., and Arizona. I mean, if you want to see it rain, go to Arizona right now. Yeah, they're in the height of the monsoon season. And so, and usually when it rains, 6 weeks later, or maybe it's not six, maybe it's 4 weeks later, the desert is in full bloom.
Wow.
And with desert flowers. So I guess that's the place where we can go and see the beauty of nature.
You know, one thing, Mick, that and this is legit, that came to mind earlier this week is I started off my post-college natural resource career up in the Stanley area in northwestern North Dakota. And I was working with private landowners, and it's similar to, you know, the programs that, you know, like FSA or the old ASCS or SCS might have. And the farmer comes in and, you know, lays down the paperwork and the land. And they say, well, we could try maybe putting a shelter belt here or doing, you know, something there. And I was functioning on that with like wildlife programs, mm-hmm. where we could go through with like, you know, modern day grazing systems. And there's cost share for cross fencing and for maybe some water development. And through that, the farmer and rancher gets maybe a little rotation on their grazing system, but they get the cost share on the fencing. Mm-hmm. And we were doing wetland restorations. And this was all voluntary.
And this was back in the 80s?
Back in the 90s.
90s.
Back in the early 1990s. And one of the reasons that it popped into my head is we were doing, at that time, like wetland restorations. Basically, where a landowner would come in and say, these had been drained 40 years ago, 50 years ago, I'd like to maybe plug that drain and create some wetlands out there and maybe some CRP. That was freshly planted CRP. And there was money to do it. And I think about that right here and right now is how it's such a long-term, you know, similar to like a shelter belt, where you might do it today, but it's going to take maybe a couple of years to pay off.
Or a decade.
Or a decade to pay off. And when you look around in the drought areas, you see some of the places that have the best crop or the only crop, some of the places that have some hay, that have some grassland, are in those areas that were wetlands that had been drained and were restored, that were in areas where there was maybe some buffer strips put into mm-hmm. some riparian areas to trap what little snow that we had last year.
Sure.
So that didn't blow away. And here on the backside of July, one of the points, again, we can't change the rain. We can't change the fact that we've had, you know, significant drought really since 2020. You know, when things, you know, when they got done combining in July of 2020, it stopped raining.
Right.
We can't change any of that, but it does start the wheels kind of turning a little bit in that there are private lands biologists, similar to what I used to do, and there's more programs now than there were when I was doing this 25 years ago. And there's probably more questions, but there's more people to answer those questions. So I want to encourage farmers, ranchers, landowners, you know, if you're waiting and frustrated for something to combine, for something to hay, is we have private lands biologists working through our Jamestown office, Devil's Lake, Harvey, Bismarck, Dickinson, Williston, Riverdale, all across North Dakota. And it might be even easier for you as a farmer or rancher to call your extension and just say, hey, do you know a private lands biologist from Game and Fish?
Sure.
Because they have programs. Game and Fish does. Then they also work with monies from Ducks Unlimited, from Pheasants Forever. And I'm just being point blank. These are voluntary programs. And I know there's a lot of hesitancy because of some of the history through easements and some of the problems that have happened on the Midwest. But these are where a private lands biologist can sit down and talk about maybe some riparian planting, maybe some habitat projects, maybe some wetland restoration projects. And you can go, yeah, you know, that's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. And that still comes back to the landowner, the farmer rancher saying, you know what? I understand where you're coming from. And I know you've got a job to do. I've got a job to do. And I don't think it's going to work for me. Or you might say, gosh, I remember looking at this 10 years ago. Things have changed. The rental rates have increased. The cost share monies have increased. The programs have changed, maybe become more user-friendly. You might say, hey, you know what? Let's go to work. Let's get something done.
As we were talking about with Abby Wick the other day, there is no cut and paste. Every farm is unique. Every farmer is different than his neighbor, and everybody's got different values and goals and different soil types, even within a field. So there is no write out the.
There's no cookie cutter.
No, it's all very uniquely crafted, and it's a plan that is perfect for that farm, or at least we keep trying to make it perfect.
Right, and that's one of the things. As you might say, well, all these different, you know, possible projects, we call it like a wheel with all these different spokes that spin off of there. And the beauty of it is there may be something that works on this quarter or this 40 acres that's not going to work someplace else. And that's one of the advantages and the dynamics that have changed over the course of decades. More programs, more variables to hopefully make it fit maybe more than it did. And again, the knowledge is power. And the best thing that we can suggest you do is to pick up the phone and schedule a time, maybe have a private lands biologist just come out and take a look at some of the projects, sit down with some mapping. And you never know. I mean, like we were talking about going into it, we can't predict what's going to happen in the future with rain and with snow. And these habitat and these shelter belt projects aren't going to pay off tomorrow. But as we're seeing this year, in the long run, it might be worth a look.
For sure. So the reminder is call your county agent or contact the Game and Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and your county agent is going to know who that private lands biologist in your area, that who you can contact.
Okay. And Minnesota and South Dakota have similar programs.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Just different names in different places. Absolutely.
Gotcha. All right. But North Dakota's got some new laws for Game and Fish, and they'll start August 1st.
Let's talk about them.
Next, here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio, you've got Farm Talk on a Friday.